I think one of the most nerve-wracking things for me is to do the preschool devotion every month and have to try to sort of sing with the preschool teachers and in front of the kids and pretend that I remember how all these songs go. So thanks for helping me practice. When we come back to that song, I'll feel a little bit more ready to sing that song. But we could actually add another verse here as we think about Mark chapter 10 and the young rich ruler. Mark doesn't really call him that, but this story gets repeated in some of the other gospels. And we know he's young, he's a ruler, he's got riches. We could add a stanza here that would be something like, "Do you know who spoke the truth? Jesus did. Jesus did. Lovingly, he spoke the truth. Yes, he really did." That lovingly is the odds and ends here in our reading from Mark. And it's not really odd to think that Jesus loved someone, right? That's not the odd thing. The odd thing is it's just an odds and ends kind of thing because we could easily skip over that. We could easily focus on, the man thinking he's got it all worked out, right? Or we could figure out, like, well, is he asking me to sell everything I have and give it to the poor? We could focus on those two things, and then we would miss that little phrase in there. And it's very unique. There aren't many places where it just speaks about Jesus directly loving someone in the context of the story. I mean, we see that all throughout Scripture, right? You would agree with me? God loves us, right? We've seen that in the Scriptures, right? But there's not too many times where in the middle of the story, it just says Jesus loved him. There's a few, and this is one of them. Jesus looked at him lovingly and spoke. And he spoke truth. We'd call it tough love. We'd call it tough love because it's hard to hear. This man comes and he's sincere, right? He comes running. Right? This man had wealth, he probably had status in the community, but before Jesus could leave town, he comes running and he kneels down, and really there's kind of this sense of begging, right? What must I do to inherit eternal life? So he's very sincere. And so Jesus' response isn't about him being insincere or something like that. But, you know, we can kind of miss that part. We can kind of say, well, how could he say that he followed all those commandments? None of us can follow the commandments. But that doesn't seem to be the thing here for Jesus. He doesn't say you're a hypocrite or anything like that. He looked at him, loved him, and said, "One thing you lack, go and sell all your possessions." Jesus looked through all of it and saw that the man's heart was still going to cling to his possessions. Jesus has that way. But he does it lovingly. He does it out of love. He speaks truth. It's a tough love. And notice what happens. The young man misses how Jesus was looking at him. You look at the scene here, Jesus looks at him, loves him, says, "Go sell all your possessions," and the man goes away disheartened. He hears Jesus. I imagine him kind of, you know, maybe still on his knees, right? And I imagine his head kind of hangs, and he thinks, "There's no way I'm going to sell my possessions." And so he gets up and he walks away back into town disheartened. And when Jesus speaks this tough truth and the man drops his eyes, he misses seeing that Jesus is speaking these things out of love. How many times is that our experience? With people in our lives, how many times is it that somebody is speaking a tough truth to us and immediately we feel downcast? We hang our heads and feel bad about it and we walk away. Or somebody speaks a tough truth to us, and we immediately start to fight back. And in either case, we miss out on that look, that loving look from the person who is speaking that truth. And how often might this also be the case with God? We're reading along in Scripture, we're hearing Scripture in worship, we're talking about Scripture together, and we get to something that is a tough truth. And we either think, well, God could never help me with that one, and we walk away. Or we fight, and we think, well, Jesus didn't really mean that. I think this is what he meant. We sort of fight against it, and either way, we miss this loving look from the Lord. As I was thinking about today's story, I came across a book called Tough Conversations with the Heart of Jesus. How many of you love to just have really tough conversations at home, at work, among the extended family, at the neighbors? Love having those tough conversations. Actually, a couple of you do, so I'm going to put you on a committee with me because I don't like them. And so I've ordered this book now. I got a sample of it, but I got it. Ordered this book because I thought, that's the difficult part, right? How do you have a tough conversation with the heart of Jesus? Let me share a couple of spots from it. Tough conversations don't necessarily include angry confrontations. Sometimes they require us to tell people gently, quietly, and lovingly the truth they need to hear to get where they want or need to be. What can make these conversations tough is that what they need to hear is not always what they want to hear. Notice that when you have a tough conversation, like Jesus is having this conversation with the young ruler, he sees what the young man needs. The young man needs to see how his possessions are going to hold him back. It's what he needs to hear. Jesus, in loving him, is pointing out this tough truth. Not because Jesus wants to be harsh or cruel or anything like that. He's doing it out of love and seeing what this young man needs. But the man doesn't want to hear that. And so he misses out on the gentle, lovingly words. Jesus looked at him and loved him. Here's more from the book. A spirit of love is the most important element you can bring to the table for a tough conversation. Jesus showed he had been profoundly moved by the young man's virtue and by the sincerity and, you know, coming up to him with this question. So with a loving demeanor, Jesus led the young man into the difficult part of the conversation. And he spoke the truth in love. He spoke it directly. No beating around the bush. He didn't say, well, I've got some good news and I've got some bad news. Which one do you want first? No hesitation, no uncertainty, no avoiding, just the truth the young man needed to hear. And here's the key thing, because we don't always think about this either, whether it's with Jesus and the young man, Jesus and us, or us in tough conversations with one another. Here's the key. That was a difficult moment for both of them, Jesus and the young man. The young man learned what was required was an even greater sacrifice than he had made before. Jesus had to watch the young man walk away sad. But he had given the man the truth he needed. And so it's tough for both people, right? The young man, it was tough for him to hear because he was not ready to sacrifice in that way. But it was also tough for Jesus. Jesus truly, right, purely loves this man. This man who is a creation of God, he loves him. And so to see him get up and walk away sad, how painful was that also for Jesus? And then the book goes on and it says, then Jesus stopped talking. Sometimes this can be the hardest part. Jesus had to watch the young man walk away. this result would have felt like a failure to many of us. Right? We see him walk away. Now, in the sitcom world, right, 30 minutes to resolve all problems. In the sitcom world, there'd be a commercial right there, right? Right? The young man walks away sad. There's a little bit of sad music, and then they tell you about McDonald's or Coca-Cola or Ford, right? And then they come back, and, you know, Jesus would be standing there wistfully and very sad and thinking, you know, is there something I could have done differently? Could I have said it differently? And then, you know, the man comes walking back, and he says, you know what, Jesus, you're right, right? Right? That's how it would work in a sitcom. In the Gospel of Mark, all we know is he walked away. And I think that's important for us to see. Jesus didn't chase him. Jesus didn't change what he had said. Instead, he had spoken the truth that the man needed to hear. We don't know the rest of the story. Maybe the young man did come to repentance at some point. But Jesus had focused on what the young man needed. And he spoke that truth in love. That's a tough conversation. Our goal as people of Christ, our goal as disciples of Jesus, is to speak the truth in love. We see that in Scripture. Our goal is to speak the truth in love to one another, to the people in our world. And that's our goal whether we're good at it or not. How many of you feel like I'm really good at speaking the truth in love? Okay, I had that one moment when I was good, and you know, that was the one. You know, I can count those on my hand, right? But it's easy to shy away from this because it's tough. It's difficult. It's uncomfortable for both people. But it's where the work of God takes place. Look at our other readings today. They're great. They're lining up with this. Malachi 3, I put there because there's a sense in which Malachi works as a nice outline for how Mark put together the stories in his gospel. But Mark 3 there is talking about refining, that God comes to us like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap, cleansing us, refining us. That's truth in love. God comes to us and he says, I'm not going to leave you where you're at. I want to transform your lives. I want to renew your lives. I want to be at work in your lives. He says, I, the Lord, do not change, so you are not consumed. If we walk away when God speaks a tough truth, part of the reason we walk away is we think, God's right, I'm wrong, there's no hope. But what God is saying is, come to me, see the truth, see your sin, and I will forgive you, renew you, refine you. And then the Hebrews passage, it says, exhort one another. The second verse there, verse 13. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today. Is today called today? Yes. So this is one of the days when we exhort one another, so that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So that none of you will be tricked by the lies of sin and thinking you're doing okay. No, instead we exhort one another, and that exhort word sounds scary, that sounds tough, it sounds difficult and uncomfortable, but exhorting is speaking the truth in love. It is wanting one another to see where our sin is so that we would grow and we'd be refined. Lovingly, God's word, lovingly, leads us to repentance, to turn away from sin. And repentance leads us to the cross, which leads us to forgiveness, which leads to eternal life, which leads to renewal, which leads to refining in our lives. Take a look at the membership language card. There are like on every other seat, so you may have to share or look around for an extra one. This language behind it is lovingly. At Bethel, our mission is to help people be disciples, lifelong learners and followers of Jesus Christ. Discipleship means God awakening disciples from head knowledge of the faith to heart life. Lovingly, we want to exhort one another to get beyond just knowing a couple of facts and to seeing how that changes our daily lives. That's loving. To confront one another in a genuine, right, gentle, loving way to say, look, I know we talked about forgiveness in church on Sunday, so why is that not showing up in your life during the week? Lovingly, we are encouraging one another in this heart life. Go down, being a member of this gathering of disciples means, number two, asking to be shepherded, cared for in your faith, and be held accountable in your life as a believer in Jesus. Accountability is really scary. That someone might say, you know, you haven't really been living up to being a disciple. But accountability is loving. It is seeing where we each are in error, and we point those things out of love. If you see me walking towards the edge of the stage and not realizing it, I hope that one of you would lovingly hold me accountable. Should I test them? What do you think, Brooke? You're my backup. A little late, weren't you? That's accountability. And it's a little scary, like, hey, I thought I was doing fine, right? But I can tell it's loving, because you didn't want me to fall. Number three, committing to encourage fellow believers at Bethel in their faith. So it's both ways. I need accountability, and I commit to encouraging other believers. You need accountability, and you commit to encouraging other believers. This is all done lovingly, so that we see what we need from the Lord. We lovingly speak the truth. We notice what is a hindrance to someone's faith. We prayerfully look for the opportunity to speak that truth. And you seek to exhort, to lead, to encourage someone to greater faith. We reflect Jesus Christ, and in that moment, and we pray that we would. We don't always reflect it, but we pray, Lord, help me to lovingly speak this truth because I love this other person and I want them to grow in faith. I don't want them to fall into some sort of pothole spiritually. And so we encourage one another so that when we're faced with difficult truths for ourselves and for one another, when we are faced with difficult truths, we lovingly speak this word to one another, which leads us to repentance, which leads us to the cross, which leads to forgiveness, eternal life, renewal, refining. And if that's where speaking the truth in love leads, that seems like a good place to head. If we avoid the conversation, it doesn't seem like we're headed anywhere, except for maybe falling off the stage. But we lovingly speak the truth because it leads to repentance, which leads to the cross, which leads to forgiveness, which leads to eternal life, renewal, refining, all in Jesus Christ. Amen.